The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
I'm glad you're starting with that song today because the Dolphins are going to the playoffs. I am telling you right now, the way that this thing is working out, Dolphins are going to the playoffs. And let me tell you something. It's the holidays. It's Christmas week. If you're looking for some, you know, realistic check on the Dolphins because they beat another mediocre team, you ain't getting it on this show. And sorry, go somewhere else because it's the holidays. I am once again in on the Miami Dolphins. I believe they're going to the playoffs. I stand with Tony Romo. Did you see what Tony Romo said on the broadcast yesterday, Solana?
Oh, Jim, this team's going to be good next year, Jim.
Great. He said great. His quote from Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post. Tony Romo said on the broadcast, Miami's going to be great next year. They're getting guys back. They're going to be great. And I'm telling you, I stand with Tony Romo. I have been pretty adamant. There's been a couple hiccups and obstacles throughout the season, but I've been pretty adamant. I've definitely been adamant. I believe in Tua. I've never wavered on Tua. I am in the camp of you don't get rid of Chris Greer. You certainly don't get rid of Mike McDaniel. And you pretty much run it back. Shore up the offensive line. Check Tyreek's hands. I don't know, an x-ray machine or something. There's something going on. And I'm with Tony Romo. Team's going to be great. Do you know, I saw this stat on Twitter. I don't even know who tweeted it out. And I've double-checked it and because people were responding, is this real? Did you see this, Solana? Tua in the red zone the last three seasons? Did you see that tweet?
I did not.
Tua in the red zone the last three seasons, 48 touchdowns, one interception.
Wow.
That's staggeringly good.
Yeah.
And so you want to come at me today with your bah, humbug, Grinch, BS, save it. Because I'm not interested in it. And if you want to talk about them beating a mediocre to bad team at home, I would disagree with you wholeheartedly because it was chilly yesterday. That's a cold weather game in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And they were facing the defending NFC champions. So take your narrative, shove it up your, you know.
You happen to be
I'm enjoying today. I'm enjoying today. No one's talking me out of it. I'll kill the Marlins today. I'm all for it. And I'm going to. I'll kill the Heat today if you want. Well, Saturday night was as abysmal a loss as you'll ever see. You want to kill the Miami Hurricanes basketball team? I'm down with it. Nobody's effing with my Dolphins today.
Hawk, I showed up in a quarter zip, ready to match your vibe. I'm here.
Appreciate it.
Man, I'm here. Let's celebrate the Finns. I don't know all that other stuff you're talking about, Chris Greer, but I'm here to celebrate the Finns today. You're right. They beat the defending NFC champs. And
in a cold weather game.
In a cold weather game, and Tua once again was excellent at home. I'm here. Let's go. I'll sign up. I'm in.
I mean, it's a victory Monday. Mm-hmm. It's a victory Monday.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you don't want the hoo-ha. Go listen to something else because you're getting the hoo-ha from me today. Now, Will Manso will join us today. We'll see where he stands. And Crowder may or may not be with us. You know, we did the show Friday from the Boys and Girls Club. We had a very successful toy drive. And we appreciate everyone who came out and donated toys. It was really, really excellent. He's traveling today. He's at an island destination. And he's landed by now. And he potentially will be signing in from the resort. We are all off after today until Friday. We will reconvene on Friday. So we're going to try to jam in 5 days worth of content in 2 days this week. I'm a little pissed right now because UTSA is playing Coastal Carolina. It was 11 a.m. kickoff our time. And I was thrilled to be able to bet the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Wake up early. I had Tampa last night. I live bet Tampa +2, pushed. Had no business pushing that game. Tampa should have won that game. They should have driven down and kicked a field goal to win that game, but also they shouldn't have even been in that game. I ended up pushing that game. I was going to bet this 11 a.m. game. I didn't know much about anything of these two teams. I texted it to Solana this morning, and he said, don't sleep on the Roadrunners. And I should have taken that all the way to the bank. I didn't. And UTSA is beating the crap out of Coastal Carolina.
Conference the USA, chancletas. Baby. The chancleta, that's right. Hey, Conference USA, don't sleep on the Roadrunners. Told you. They're a problem, brother. They're a problem.
Dropping a brother on me already.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
In a feisty mood. All right. We have here. Looking at my notes. All right. You want to do headlines and then Will Manso is going to join us and we'll do some Dolphins talk today and have some fun. And before you know it, it's going to be Christmas and Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. Jimmy, you feeling good today? It's Victory Monday.
Hell yeah.
All right. You got your Victory Monday shirt on?
You know it.
All right. You feeling good? You want to run it back? Chris Greer?
Let's do it.
Mike McDaniel? Tua?
Let's do
everybody?
It. Yeah.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Check. All right, let's get headlines with Solana. Brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
You know what, Hawk? For everybody talking about Mike McDaniel, I don't know about Chris Greer, but for everybody talking about Mike McDaniel, I think we got a pretty good indication after the game in the Dolphins locker room yesterday, how the owner, Stephen Ross, feels about the Dolphins head coach after Mike McDaniel gave out his 1,700th game ball of the season yesterday. One more was delivered by virtue of the Dolphins owner. Little toss to Mike McDaniel, threw it right at him and said, Coach McDaniel gets a game ball.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Didn't Stephen Ross, at the early stages of his tenure, after a meaningless late season victory, do something similar to that in a locker room, or gave someone an extension, or don't you recall that? Am I right? Wasn't there something?
Man, I don't know. We'd have to go back and double check. I don't remember
someone
him.
Someone texted in. I remember him going down. It was like week 15 or 16. They weren't going anywhere, but they won a game. And then all of a sudden he was, I don't know. Was it Tony Sperano? I distinctly remember. That's why I don't take it necessarily as clearly as a lot of people are, because Stephen Ross gets caught up in the moment. I've seen this with him in the past. He gets caught up. I don't think Mike McDaniel's going anywhere. I don't even think it's a consideration for him. I think if anybody, it would be Chris Greer. But I have a feeling Chris Greer's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember Stephen Ross. Somebody text that in. 305-567-0560. Somebody texted in. There was a moment where Stephen Ross like celebrated a worthless victory and everyone got raises or something. I don't know what happened.
That sounds about right.
Oh,
like
somebody says Joe Philbin. Somebody said it was Philbin. Is that what it was? Came down and then just extended Joe Philbin the next day or something. There was something there. It does. There's something that reminds me of something else that he's done.
But there was also this picture. I saw the Sun Sentinel posted it. Maybe it was Fiorone's, but the Sun Sentinel had posted the picture. Stephen Ross, after the victory, on the sideline, fist in the air, all smiles, celebrating. I think that's an indicator of how he feels, which is closer to how you feel. This team is close.
I don't see how you could say otherwise.
Well,
I mean, I do see how you could say otherwise. They can't beat a good team, and then and they still have two games that they need to win, and still other things to happen, and they'll probably lose one of those just because. But man, I'm just not going there today.
Yeah.
I've been adamant throughout the season. I've been adamant about Tua, and I just look at that roster and I go, you know, granted, there's issues. I get it, but again, I don't think Tua got sacked yesterday. Did he?
He did not.
Yeah. The running game was back.
The running game was indeed back, all the way back.
Give Achan that long carry at the end. It certainly skews the numbers.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't think they're as far away as people think.
Bro, Achan had 190 total yards in the game yesterday. That guy's good.
I had a bet. I had a bet with it was Ryan from Funky Buddha and myself. We bet it together, fairly substantial. Devon Achan, I think it was over 36 and a half yards receiving, and he hit it in the first quarter. We cashed that ticket in the first quarter. Let me see what it was.
He had 120 rushing yards yesterday, 70 receiving.
Yeah, it was Achan, over 36 and a half yards receiving. Hit it in the first quarter. We cashed that ticket in the first quarter.
Nothing like
that. I also had Tua over 1.5 rushing yards because I can't quit that bet. He does not run.
He did not run yesterday. Not a good day when the offensive line is actually performing how they're supposed to perform. Not a good day for your Tua rushing prop overs. Who would have thought? Throw a little Isaiah Wynn.
Or for my Michael Penix rushing overs.
Hmm.
It was 7.5. Remember, Crowder and I put it in during the broadcast from the Boys and Girls Club. And he ended up, he had 6 rushing yards going into the final quarter. And Ryan from Funky Buddha, who was also in on this wager, he said to me, man, he just needs a couple more yards. And I said, they're up by 1,000,000 points. I said, so whatever he gets, I guarantee you he's going to kneel down at the end because they're going to have the ball at the end. I forget who they were, but they were up by 1,000,000 points. And I said, he's going to kneel down. He ended with 4 yards, which means he lost 2 yards kneeling down at the end. But yeah, that ticket did not hit.
It really shouldn't. They shouldn't include kneel downs into the rushing totals. I understand why they do.
Include sacks.
Crazy. Yeah, they dominated the New York Giants. Michael Penix looked good, by the way.
Yeah.
He looked good. Yeah. I mean, it's the Giants. I know the Giants stink, but he looked good. 200 yards. He had an interception, but 200 yards. It was kind of fire.
Needs to take off a little more. Needs to run a little bit more.
All right.
Yeah, a bunch of people texting in. Joe Philbin after a meaningless win against Minnesota. You did it in the locker room. Yeah.
Man, I don't remember that.
And it says, Ross did it with Philbin. These are people texting in. Ross did it with Philbin in 2014, fired him in 2015. Yeah, here's someone texting in. It was the walk-off punt block safety with Joe Philbin. Yep, I remember it. If you went back, you'd know. Like, literally was in the locker room going nuts. It was a meaningless win over Minnesota and extended Joe Philbin.
But if he felt like, okay, no matter what, I'm canning both of these guys. He's not in the locker room after the game, Hawk, throwing him a game ball.
I mean, he owns the team. They had a nice victory. He's going to go down and celebrate. He doesn't have many chances to do that. So
I think he likes McDaniel. I really do.
I think he does, too. I think he likes Chris Greer as well.
Yeah.
But I also think he gets caught up in the heat of the moment.
Loves himself a victory over the Niners. Loves it. Christmas. Maybe he loves Christmas like Tua. He's on the sideline. Dolphins
time
get the win.
Life.
Yeah, he's just having
the time
fun.
Of his life.
What a difference the offensive line makes when Tron Armstead is out there, Kendall Lamb is out there, and you don't have to rely on Liam Eichenberg for all 70 snaps in a game. He did play yesterday, by the way.
It was like splitting snaps.
Yeah, yeah, with Isaiah Wynn. And according to, I was reading Barry Jackson's notes on the offensive line, apparently he actually graded out pretty well yesterday. But
Eichenberg. Or Wynn.
Both graded out, but Eichenberg graded out well yesterday in his like 38 snaps or whatever it was, 48 snaps. But what a difference it makes on that final play. Devon Achane's run. If you see the replay, who created the gap for Achane to just run right through the line and past everybody? And it was.
He should have gone down, by the way.
Isaiah Wynn.
Really shouldn't have scored.
Nah, you go up 10 in that position? Come on. Go get your touchdown.
You're giving them a chance. If they score a touchdown, they can get an onside kick. If he goes down, you literally run out the clock. There's 0% chance that they can win.
Go get your touchdown.
Unless Mario Cristobal's your coach.
But then we don't get the Chop Robinson sack at the end of the game, and the team.
Oh, listen, I love the fact that he went in, and that Chop Robinson sack Selly with guys on the sideline is going viral. Like, that was, as the kids say, tough. Mm-hmm. That was tough.
So all the Dolphins need. This is it. This is all the Dolphins need. They have to win out at Cleveland, at the New York Jets. All they need, on top of that, is for the Colts to lose one of their last two games.
Can easily happen.
At the Giants and at home versus Jacksonville.
Both tough, tough teams at the end of a season.
And then, you know, maybe they get a little help from the Los Angeles Chargers losing a pair of games versus the Patriots and versus the Raiders. Or maybe
I believe the Dolphins
help.
Are going to the playoffs. Mark the tape.
You have them in.
I have them in, yes.
Okay. Or maybe they get a little help from the Broncos and the Chiefs and the Bengals. Broncos lose out at the Bengals, home versus the Chiefs. And that's it. That's it. That's all they need, Hawk. That's it.
Josh Appel texting in that UTSA is not in Conference USA. It's in the American Conference.
Yeah, but that's besides the point. I mean, the Roadrunners are a problem. I don't know what to tell you. They were in Conference USA, though, I think. Because I remember FIU having to play them. Yeah, they were in Conference USA till 2022. Oh, all
I
right.
Mean,
Appel,
who's been
down.
Paying attention to them
settle
since
down.
Then?
Settle down.
Chancletas are making a little bit of a comeback here. It's 44-15 in the fourth.
They're right in it. Let's go Sandals.
All right.
The Miami Heat, they play tonight.
They are the Chanticleers. What is that?
It's a bird, I believe. I think we did this. Yeah, I think we did this. I believe it's a bird. Like a rooster or something like that.
Makes sense. It looks like a rooster on the logo there.
Ah, the Battle of the Birds then. You got the Roadrunners and the Chanticleers.
Yeah.
Nice.
All about the birds.
The Heat play the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7:30 p.m. They need a dub. Bad. Very bad.
They had a dub. They had a dub. They gave it up.
Man. I'm so happy the Dolphins won because that's what I want. I don't want to talk about the Heat. I just... I'm not over what transpired the other night, Hawk. I'm still furious about how they lost that game, and I don't have words for it. I really don't. It was just embarrassing.
Somebody texts in, the Chanticleer is a fancy chicken.
The chicken.
A fancy chicken.
Okay. What does that mean? Its feathers are pointed upwards? I mean, like, what does that mean?
Fancy chicken. Ficken.
The Florida Panthers continue to win. They beat the Lightning last night 4-2. They'll play the Lightning again tonight at 7 p.m., but this time they'll do it at the Amerant Bank Arena, home of the Stanley Cup champions.
That is correct. Don't ever forget it.
And now to the Miami Marlins to wrap up our local headlines. I know there's a lot more to get to.
I want to talk to Will Mansell about it. I was talking to Will this morning, and I said, hey, I do want to talk some Dolphins with you, but I am interested in the Heat and the Marlins as well. The Marlins, I just don't understand how they ever feel like they are going to build a loyal fan base. I'm not doing this again. I've done this too many times. It's so galling how low their payroll will be headed into opening day. And Peter Bendix, you know, talking about how, Bruce Sherman's willing to spend whatever it takes to, no, he's not. We're not stupid. He's not. He wants the lowest payroll he can put out there. He wants to grab as much revenue as he can. He does not have the money these other owners have. And this team should have been sold to Jorge Mas.
The Marlins traded Jesús Luzardo to the Phillies for a minor league infielder and a minor league outfielder.
And a fancy chicken.
I think the comments most people were upset about, because I don't know if it was Barry Jackson, somebody from the Herald talked to Peter Bendix. And they asked him if he can definitively say that Sandy Alcantara is a long-term part of the future, even though he listens to proposals on everything. And his response was, quote, you said it. We never rule out anything. We listen to everything. Sandy's a really important piece for our organization. I'm really excited to see him pitch on opening day. And at this point, Hawk, I think it doesn't matter who they sell. Like, is anybody not going to the ballpark because they traded Jesús Luzardo? You know what I mean? Like, but you want to see fans really upset? You trade your ace.
The one guy.
Yeah.
The one guy. But I know they do have their eye on three fancy chickens. And they will not settle for one or two fancy chickens for Sandy Alcantara.
Listen,
or more fancy chickens.
You live in Little Havana. You got to have a fancy chicken. You better show up proper. You better show up with a good chicken. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It's a Victory Monday, bro. The beautiful day.
Victory Monday. Playoff. What are we? In the Hunt Monday. Mm-hmm. We got an In the Hunt Monday. Time of the season.
Nothing
love
better.
A little In the Hunt.
Nothing better.
All right, Will Manso is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Christmas Eve is the 24th?
Yeah, this year I think it falls on the 24th. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check.
Man, let me put that in the calendar.
Yeah. Let me check. Yep, 24th this year.
Okay, cool.
Hawk and Crowder.
Will Manso is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Reminder, by the way, if you're doing some last-minute holiday shopping, you want to get some Canes or Dolphins merch for someone on your list, check out Caneswear on University Drive in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Will Manso, sports anchor on WPLG Local 10, and you can see him pregame and postgame and prowling the sidelines during Heat broadcasts on FanDuel Sports Network. Son, hello, Will.
Gentlemen, what's going on? It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. So let me start with the Dolphins, because I do want to talk Dolphins, and I really also want to get your opinion on the Marlins, and I probably would be remiss if I don't bring up the heat from Saturday night as well, even though Solana keeps telling me, don't bring up the heat on Saturday night, but I kind of feel like I have to. But regardless, I want to start with the Dolphins. So I'm in agreement with Tony Romo, and it was kind of going viral in Miami yesterday. Joe Shad had tweeted out, Tony Romo during the broadcast said, Miami's going to be great next year. They're getting guys back. They're going to be great. I've been pretty adamant all season that I think this team is super close. I love Tua, and I'm with Tony Romo. I think they're going to be great next season if everyone stays healthy. And I'm kind of one of the few that doesn't really want to see any wholesale changes. Where do you stand?
I mean, I think a couple of things. I think they're going to be good next year. And my question is, can they be great? You know, I think like Tony said, I heard the clip. He said, you know, they're going to be great next year when they're healthy. I think we've seen what this team can be when they're healthy. I think we've seen over the last few years, this core, they can be really good. Now, the drop off, though, from 2 years ago with the Mike McDaniel offense and the taking over the league by storm, it's kind of fallen off, injuries or not. And I think that's the problem. Is I think the Dolphins are at a point where they're good. I think they're really good when they're healthy. I think they're a playoff team that can compete. I just don't see them at the level of the Buffaloes, the KCs, the Baltimores come playoff time. And I think that's the question for the Dolphins to have to answer. Are we happy with good, or what do we need to do to get to great? I am in agreement with you. Tua is their guy. They signed him long term. I don't think Mike McDaniel, nor do I think Mike McDaniel is going anywhere. He just got an extension in what, early in the season, right before the start of the season. Stephen Ross gave him a game ball yesterday. Chris Greer is someone that Stephen Ross has showed incredible confidence in over the last decade plus. So I don't see wholesale changes coming. I don't think they need to come. My question is, are they good, or can they really get to great, and how do they get there?
What do you think is more likely, that Chris Greer is not the general manager next season, or that Chris Greer is back as the general manager next season? Which one's more likely?
That he's back. You know, and look, it looks like they're going to finish strong with three straight wins, right? You would think these next 2 weeks, I mean, you got a quarterback, a third string quarterback at Cleveland with a team that's going nowhere. You know, you end the season, what, against the Jets? I mean, this doesn't look like a team that's going to lose again. So you're going to have a winning record, and then you can sit there and say, our four games where we didn't play with Tua, we went 1-3. If we would have won one of those, right, which you'd assume that if you had Tua, you would likely have won one, or if we would have won a game earlier, we slipped in, whatever, we're a playoff team. And again, it goes back to the good, great theory. You want to just be a playoff team as they were the last 2 years, but then you're one and done and don't really compete, or what is missing to get to the next step? I don't personally think, Hawk, right? I think fans have to look at the big picture. I don't think firing Chris Greer, firing Mike McDaniel, doing big changes is going to get you any closer with this core. I mean, you got Tyreek Hill. Hopefully he could bounce back with a big year next year. Jalen Waddle, you love what you have at Devon Achane. I mean, there are pieces there on defense. What's a new GM going to do? Like, are you going to break up the core and start again? Are you? What pieces are you going to add? I think you got to stick with it for at least one more year and see where this goes.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm at. I don't think they're great right now, but I do think that they are very close to it, because I think Tua can be. I think he's missing a big, tall target who's got speed. You're seeing him go to Jonnu Smith a lot, and I don't know what happened to Tyreek this season and certainly yesterday. I mean, Tua's throwing dimes to him, and he's just flat out dropping them. But what if you added a tall receiver, Devontae Parker? What if you added a tall receiver? You shored up the. I mean, you got to get help with the safeties too. Javon Holland's a friend of ours. He's having an off season. Jordan Poyer's been terrible, but you need a little safety help. But my point is, I think you can address a couple of things that take them from good to great. And I think the conversation we had last week with Crowder and Solana and me, I really believe there's one fatal flaw with this team, and that was the backup quarterback. And I think had they had a decent backup quarterback, they're not looking for a miracle path to the playoffs. They're a playoff team. And so I think you can address their problems, and they can become great from good in a fairly short amount of time.
Well, a couple things to unpack. Number one is you're right, and I think any Dolphin fan knows, and I think if you're going to knock on Chris Greer and say, what's Chris Greer's biggest mistake, it was not addressing the backup quarterback position strong enough for a quarterback in Tua that you know his one flaw is the injury situation and obviously the concussion situation, which came to light again this year with the unfortunate situation, the four games he missed. I think there is a bigger picture, though, Hawk, that we haven't discussed, and that's the adjustment of Mike McDaniel. And I kind of touched on it earlier where they were like the hot thing in the league a couple of years ago. I don't know if you saw during the broadcast or a fan saw, there was a stat that I thought was the telling thing. It was average pass yards per attempt, right? The Dolphins were second 2 years ago in the league, second. They were 17th last year. They're dead last this year. There has been something that's happened with this Mike McDaniel offense, and it can't all be injuries because, again, you've had most of this core healthy at most times in the last year, year and a half. What has happened that the league has figured things out a bit? This explosive offense, this playmaking offense, this fun offense hasn't been that for a very long time. And look, the dink and dunk and the short plays and accuracy of Tua taking advantage of his strengths, that's great. I don't think that wins you championships, though. I think this offense needs to be explosive. So this offseason, Mike McDaniel needs to look in the mirror and needs to say, what has happened the last year and a half? How do we go from second in that stat to dead last in just 2 years? And the fall off has been quick, second to 17th to last. That's a big thing I think Mike McDaniel has to self-assess this offseason and figure out.
With that being said, though, you know, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago with you, Will, where you just didn't see a scenario where McDaniel was going to be fired unless it, you know, got really bad at the end of the year. But did you take anything away from yesterday's post-game in the locker room interaction between Stephen Ross and McDaniel? Because Hawk and I talked about it at the very beginning of the show where I said, man, that to me is as good of any sign that McDaniel will be here next year. Stephen Ross showing love to Mike McDaniel kind of confirms, I think, what we all anticipated, right? He'll be back here next year.
Yeah, I think it's the ultimate vote of confidence, right? And sometimes a public vote of confidence is actually a negative, like a guy gets a vote of confidence and a month later he's out. I don't see that, you know, I don't see that at all with Mike McDaniel. And I think to your point, guys, I think yesterday was a clear sign. Stephen Ross clearly likes Mike McDaniel. He likes his energy. He likes what he brings to the building. He likes his attitude. There's a lot to like about Mike McDaniel. But again, there are things as a coach you have to adapt as time goes on to your offense, to your scheme, to your style. I think the players, and I think this looks great on Mike McDaniel. This team has not quit. I know there were issues yesterday. They were tackling poorly, especially early on. The Deebo Samuel play was tough to take down anyways. I mean, I don't think effort is an issue with this team. I mean, you have Chop Robinson, who's getting better and better every week. Zach Sealer, who should be a Pro Bowler. Again, we mentioned the playmakers. Offensive line yesterday didn't allow a sack. I mean, they have been great, but they did their job yesterday for the most part. They ran the ball for, 180-plus yards, whatever it was. There are things that show that this team is still playing hard for him. And when you combine it with what we saw from Stephen Ross, yeah, I think the likelihood of Mike McDaniel being back is probably at 90% at this point.
All right, let me talk Marlins before we run out of time. And Solana's hoping we do run out of time so that we don't have to bring up the heat on Saturday night. But they trade Jesus Luzardo to Philadelphia. And then Peter Bendix, you know, he's asked about, what about Sandy Alcantara? And his answer was, you know, we listen to everything, and their payroll is probably going to be the lowest in baseball come opening day. I mean, what can you even say about this team? Do you think this team is a completely different franchise had Jeffrey Loria sold to Jorge Mas instead of Bruce Sherman?
That's a great question, and I think it's a valid question, and I think it's a question every Marlins fan, the ones that are left that care, are asking themselves all these years later, would there have been money invested? And what I hate about this whole process is, look, sometimes, and we've been hearing it for 20 years from different owners, from the Loria days, I mean, through all the GMs and the managers and all the people, and now we hear from Peter Bendix. And remember, Peter Bendix is just the messenger. You know what I mean? He's the messenger. He got a job, and I know people get mad at him, but he's just basically doing what he's told to do. If he was given the resources to spend and told to spend, he could, I'm sure he would spend. But he has a budget, he has a plan, and that plan is to basically burn this thing down and try to get young prospects that you can hang on to, have, you know, you have their rights and before arbitration, all the things for a few years. Those are things that they're trying to build, you know, the Tampa way, whatever you want to call it. But the problem is you got to spend money in between to plug holes, and they have shown no inclination to do it. Like, if you're rebuilding, you still got to put better. And so when you trade the Luzardos, I mean, you trade a Jake Berger who wasn't even scheduled to make $1 million this year. What does having Jake Berger on your team, even if he's a part-time player, hurt the growth of the young players you're trying to develop. If anything, it helps it because you have a veteran who's a great presence, who's a great leader, who's a productive player at a cheap salary. So what the Marlins are doing, I don't understand. To answer your question, yes, I think it would be different because I think there'd be at least some money spent. I think Major League Baseball is going to have to look at the situation and say, guys, with revenue sharing, with things going on, you can't have a $30 million payroll. You just can't. You can't tell me that rebuilding and having a bunch of kids. By the way, some of these kids, Connor Norby, I think he's going to be a very good player. We'll see if Kyle Stowers, year two, what he becomes. But the kids they got that are still a year or two away, these guys may never develop, and you're sitting there paying $30 million, $40 million for a salary and a payroll. That can't be the case. I'm sorry. Whatever Peter Bendix or Bruce Sherman says, it cannot make sense to me that they're doing this.
It's just, it's infuriating. And I know it's so silly. I do the same thing with the Dolphins. They lose a big game and I go, of course they lost the big. I get fooled every time. And then, you know, I have like the memory of a goldfish when it comes to sports. I should know. But I'm going to react this way when they do trade Sandy Alcantara.
Oh, that's like, by the way, I think I'm just, glad you said it. It's coming. It is coming. Once Sandy proves he's right. healthy by the deadline, it is coming.
I don't know what the answer is. I can tell you what I know. I don't think they can ever be successful with Bruce Sherman as the owner.
I think that the evidence of the last, you know, whatever, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it's been since been the owner, I think proves, you know, is on your side. I mean, I don't know. And look, we've asked Bruce Sherman directly. We did after they hired, you know, the new skipper, Clay McCullough, and then we had Barry Jackson with the Herald was asking questions as well. We were all pressing him, and he kept saying, I will spend money. I have shown I will spend money. But here's what I'll say to Bruce Sherman, and I'll say to the Marlins. If you're telling me you'll spend money when the price is right or when the time is right and we're going to pay, right, then as a fan, you should say, guess what? I'll go see your product when you spend money then. You know, right. When you tell me that you're going to put the effort in to spend money, then I'll spend my hard-earned money to go watch you. In the meantime, if you don't want to spend it, why the hell am I going to spend it as a fan?
There's only so many Flanagans and Barbie jerseys I'm interested in. You can't keep pulling the nonsense on me, Sherman.
I wear my SpongeBob jersey with pride, but they got me one time with that. I paid $50 for that ticket, but that's it.
I know. They got me for $50 because my wife wanted the Barbie jersey. She loves it. Yeah. They got me for another $50 for the Flannies jersey. They're doing it again next season. They're having a Flannies and a Barbie jersey again next season.
We'll be back.
At some point, diminishing returns, though.
You can invite Barbie, SpongeBob to the game. You can have a Flanagan's Cup for her. I don't care, but get some damn good players because that's what baseball's about.
Which one did you get, Solana? I know you got a Flannies one. Didn't you get another one, too? Or no?
I bought tickets for the SpongeBob event, but I ended up not being able to go, and I had to eat the $50.
Just
bucks.
Ate it?
I just ate the $50. Yeah.
Oh, no, I got my spongy.
That's a good one.
I'll give you $50
bucks
for that.
Quick question. Will Manso and the Heat have an opportunity to make everyone forget Saturday night tonight? But Saturday night, what the hell happened in that fourth quarter?
Well, listen, I forgot about it on Sunday morning because Spo had a nice event. They did the charity thing. That was the most cleansing feeling in the world 12 hours later from that to be at a charity event. So that was nice. But what happened Saturday is I don't even know what happened. It was one of the biggest debacles and collapses I've ever seen the Miami Heat have in their entire history. I mean, they were minus 29 in the fourth quarter. It is the largest deficit in a quarter in franchise history. Franchise history. It's happened one time. They tied the mark, minus 29, 37-8. Like, and I get Spo was saying the defense, and, you know, I get it. Cole Anthony went nuts and defense played well. But I'm sorry. When a team is hot and scoring, okay, great, you're not playing good defense. But when you're up 22, you just have to score a few points, and you'll be fine. If the Heat score 16 in the quarter, they win the game. So they only scored 8. So what happened was no one can figure out what shot to take. The defense looked lost. I think a lot of guys were just within the collapse looking around going, holy hell, what is happening? I think we were all saying that. And it ended up being one of the worst collapses you'll ever see in a game. I mean, it's again, I know the stakes aren't as high as saying it happened in the playoffs, but still, to see a team collapse like that at that level with a Hall of Fame coach and with players like Tyler and Bam who are all-star player types, I have no words to describe how it happened. And my God, I hope it never happens again.
Will, but what about overall this team? A week ago, we're talking about the best four-game stretch of the season. Tyler Hero's an all-star. Jimmy Butler's playing great basketball. Since then, look, there's no shame in losing to OKC at home, but they've had two losses to bad teams. I consider Orlando a bad team without their three best players available late in games. And that's kind of been a theme this season. We talk so much over the years about Miami and the clutch and how great they are at pulling out these victories. What's happening this year where they can't seem to win these close games, especially on the road?
I mean, they are among the top five teams in the league in games decided by 3 points or less, except the issue is they only have one win in those games.
Right.
So that tells you a lot of what's going on. They're not finding ways to finish. And to your point, I think the simplest answer I give people when they ask me about the Heat, what's wrong and what's right, when they go on four in a row, then they lose three in a row, is that this is this team right now. Like, Jimmy Butler, when he's playing, is playing at a great level still. Bam is still, and especially of late, he's become a double-double machine again where he's doing that nightly. Tyler Hero is an all-star. I think he should very well be an all-star. Yet, when the product is on the court as this roster as an entirety, they are a middle-of-the-pack team. And I think that's the question for the Heat they have to keep asking themselves. How, it's almost back to what we said about the Dolphins, whether you're good or great. Are the Heat going to be a middle-of-the-pack team where they're 5, 6, 7, 8 fighting for a play-in, or maybe they make the playoffs as a 5 or 6? Can they be more than that? And I think the answer right now with the body of work is no. And I think they have to figure out how it becomes a yes, and whether that's a trade, whether it's an acquisition at the deadline, whether it's a buyout, whether whatever it is, whether it's from within, they have to figure it out. Because, guys, you cannot say that the Heat are anything more than just a solid, mediocre team right now, because that's what they're showing through the last 25 games and really what they've been showing for the last year and a half.
You know what you should have done Sunday, Will, is that after you hit 4K in the 5K, you should have just stopped and walked off and said, "Hey, Spo, how you like it?"
All right.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
You know, it was charity. Spo was all smiles. Everybody was hugging.
Hey, there's no charity after you blow a lead like that in the fourth quarter.
Nobody mentioned charity, Saturday, you know, to me on Sunday. It was like we were in a bubble. Saturday night, it didn't exist in Coral Gables.
You ran it, right? You and Giselle ran the 5K?
Giselle's going to kill me, but she walked it. I ran it. She's like,
Solana you walked it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I walked. It was like 50 degrees that morning.
It felt great. It felt great. I ran with John Crotty, and it was great because it was like a medical episode. He was telling me every body part he's had surgery on as he ran. My heel, my Achilles, my knee, my shoulder.
So he can run 5K with no pain?
Oh, my God. And this is what I tell people all the time. When everybody says, athletes as they get older, like, oh, look at this guy. He's not. Do you understand the wear and tear these people had on their bodies? Like, John was telling me the list of surgery to his wife, Kara, who I love so much. She was telling me all the stuff, the times that John had surgeries. It's ridiculous to have a 10-year NBA career, like 20 surgeries or whatever it was. So, yeah, he ran the 5K, though. He did.
Man, I can't believe you sold out Giselle like that.
Please don't mention that to her. It's a sore subject. She was done, and she's like, "Will, why'd you run? Why didn't you just walk with me?" I said, "Because I wanted to run. I was competitive. You know, I love to run."
Will Manso, watch him on Local 10. See him on FanDuel Sports Network Sun as well. Heat back at it tonight. Thank you, Will. Merry Christmas.
Guys,
tell Giselle Merry Christmas. And
same
we'll
to you guys.
Speak
enjoy.
With you some point next year, I guess. There you go.
Yeah, Will be safe. Manso, we'll recap the
you
Pop Tarts.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we'll be talking about a Dolphins playoff game. That would be my,
I like that.
Yeah, that would be my real goal. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Will Manso from Local 10 there, and we'll come back with a little bit more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Flan,
flan, flan, flan.
Hock and Crowder.